You're listening to Season 2 of NFT 365, talking crypto, blockchain, Web3, non-fungible tokens, metaverse, and...
What the f*** is a non-fungible token?
We'll get to that. It's time for today's episode of NFT 365. Here's your host and digital futurist, Brian Fanzo.
This show is not financial advice, so do your own damn research.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode of NFT 365. And, you know, the thing about this, like, conference season that we're in right now is I just have to say, like, I love each and every one of you that have come up and said hi to me. So many of you have you know, we connected either in San Diego or Miami, or maybe it's going to be in New York next week or Cleveland the week after. And I just love getting, you know, like the feedback. And I've said this before in past episodes, but I want to reiterate, like, I'm very extroverted, but I'm also one that, like, I often am not, you know, like, if you see me talking, like, the best thing you could do is come over and then probably have to interrupt because I don't shut up, which I know probably doesn't surprise most of you. But also, like, if you see me walking around, like, please take the opportunity to run and grab me. Like, I'm not great at, like, social settings of being the one that's, like overly out there as much as I'm an extrovert. So I just have to say, so many of you have jumped over, you know, and come out and, you know, give me hugs. We've taken pictures. We've talked about the podcast. You've shared your favorite episodes. And I just have to say that means so much to me. And I'm excited to, you know, head to New York next week as well. And, you know, with that being said, the other part of this is, you know, I have to say, like, reporting back from Miami, I will tell you, the energy, the tools that are being built, and the different ways brands are playing in this space, everyone from, like, MasterCard, right? I really was impressed with what MasterCard's doing, to somewhat, you know, what I see some, like, big names are doing, you know, maybe some those that are in the Peloton space, or maybe those that are creators in the lingerie space or the car market, or even in the spaces of, you know, education. And then the part of it that I wanted to tap in for this episode was just really the use cases, right? I talked about this in the last episode. Like, I really think we have a use case shortage right now, right? I think there's two things I talk a lot right now as, like, a soapbox from a standpoint of Web3. It's that, you know, we need to focus on not only, you know, the idea of onboarding, but reboarding, right? And, like, how do we train the trainer, right? It's not good enough that I teach you the basics of NFTs or Web3. I need to teach you and educate you at a level where you can teach others, because that's the only way we grow. It's the only way that you onboard, and this space can be very lonely. And then the other problem is just having use cases that people can relate to. And I will say, this is why I believe I'm such a great speaker on this topic. And it's why I will jump on Twitter spaces and people are like, man, Brian, I love what you had to say. Or it's because I have a bunch of use cases in my back pocket that if someone's like, hey, I'm a brick and mortar store and I don't think NFTs are worthwhile because how are they going to impact, you know, like my frozen ice cream shop? I have use case for it, right? If someone's like, oh, Brian, I'm an online coach and I wanna like think about this, but like Web 2 already has memberships and things. Like, what value does Web 3 have for me? I have about 10 different use cases. And so that's part of my goal this month, in the month of April, is I'm gonna do some use case episodes. And I'm probably gonna double down on a couple of them. A couple of the use cases might have a little overlap, but I think these are so important because you need to keep them in your back pocket. And because it's not about, like, convincing others to come in this space, right? Like, that's not my goal. But I do believe that there are a lot of problems that can be solved with Web3. And then also, there are new experiences and ways that we can recreate things that have never been tapped into before. And so the one that we're going to talk about right now is just really in that non-profit sector. And I will say, just as a little heads up, like, I've probably spent more time advising and talking to companies and projects in this sector over the last 3 months than I maybe have any sector, because I think the nonprofit component, right? Like, a lot of nonprofits today already are accepting crypto. A lot of nonprofits also understand they have to go to where their audience is going in the future, right? Like, they have to continue to evolve, right? I'm on the board of a couple nonprofits, and, like, I know what it meant. Like, when Facebook allowed the donation inside of a Facebook post originally, you know, like the first time that came out, the first year that came out, a lot of nonprofits fought against it because they didn't want to get stuck in the Facebook ecosystem. But then they also realized that the importance of word of mouth and, like, one click and you can do this is really valuable. And most of them have embraced the idea now that you can set up donations and charities and nonprofits within your social posts, and you can raise awareness, you can raise funds inside of Instagram and a lot of those platforms. But I have to say, like, when it comes to nonprofits, there's a couple of things that I get most excited about, right? And when it comes to the use case. And even if you're not working with a nonprofit or you're not in this space, I can promise you this episode will be very valuable for you, because part of it is looking at, like, I like to look at use cases and say, how can Web3 fix them, but more and say, okay, what are the underlying problems, or where is the current things that we haven't tapped into yet that would really help push the envelope forward? And I will tell you, there's a couple of them in the nonprofit space. One of them is connecting donors with donors, which is no different really than the coffee problem, right? Starbucks isn't getting into NFTs because they need more reward mechanisms. They got plenty of reward mechanisms. Their reward app is one of the best in the world. But their ability to connect coffee enthusiasts with coffee enthusiasts and also add a layer of ownership is what Starbucks got in the space. Well, that same problem exists in the donor space, right? Because there are a lot of people that donate to certain charities that would love to know who else donates to those charities, or they would love to be associated or have conversations or even collaborate with them. But how do we do that in the digital realm? The other aspect of nonprofit, and a lot of this has to do with, like, you know, red tape and middle management and like the lack of transparency in the space, is that, you know, for a long while, people assumed when you donated something, it helped the cause. But then we learned, or we realized, that there are a lot of times that our money is being used to hire people and a lot of the back end things, and it wasn't going right to the actual, you know, thing, that the cause that we were trying to actually, you know, work towards. But that also, there was like a layer of, like, and this goes into like data sharing, right? Like, most of us don't care about giving away our data. What we do care is the people using our data in ways that we are not okay with or not sure with, right? If someone tells me, Brian, I want to use your Apple Watch data and your sleep data to better understand ADHD and the limitations we have with sleeping and the problems we have with going to bed, I would 1,000% jump on that, right? But if all of a sudden I realized that, like, my data was being used in other ways, for nefarious ways, or is being sold off without my knowledge, like, that's a problem. And that's often, I think that's really what happened, because I think people understand that, like, for a cause, a charity, a nonprofit to make an impact, they're going to have employees and people. But, like, when it's assumed that, like, money goes from here to there, and if it doesn't do that, that just gives us one more hesitation to stop wanting to, you know, be a part of that. And then the third thing I'm going to tap in on this episode, that I'll kind of get into each one of them. The third one, right? The first one is connecting, like, the donor community, the donor ownership online. The second one is, like, that transparency of, like, where things are going. The third one is, like, the feedback loop and the communication impact that being a part of a nonprofit actually, the results, right? And, like, that back channel. Because if you think about it, like, I've donated to a bunch of causes. I know many of you that listen, you've probably bought NFTs that have donated a lot of causes. Unfortunately, we often don't see there's no, like, direct way for us to have an understanding of what is the impact that our money or our donation or our time has made, right? And I know for some people, that's actually why they say they would rather donate to a soup kitchen, because they can see that they're helping feed the homeless or helping feed the hungry. And, like, they're getting that, like, direct result. And it's not about being self-serving or like, oh my God, I'm doing this for me. But let's face it, we are emotional humans, that if we want to make an impact and help others, if we're just clicking a box, it feels much more transactional. And so that's the third part, is, like, how do we remove the transactional experience that exists within nonprofits and charities and donations and things? And so I'm going to tap into all three of these and how we can use them within an NFT space. And of course, the first one being, you know, connecting donors with donors. To me, this idea of token gated community, right? And token gated conversations, I think, is really, really powerful. And one of the examples it can be is that, you know, if you know that someone, you know, let's say that people are setting up on a weekly donation or a monthly donation, or they're supporting a nonprofit by every year they sponsor, you know, they pay to have that nonprofit and raise money for the nonprofit for the sporting events with their kids or whatever it may be. there's something powerful about connecting others with that, because not only does that unlock to where people are now realizing that they're not alone, but it also gives us additional ideas. And so, like, for me, having these different tiers of like, hey, if someone donates this amount, we're going to unlock this ability for them to chat in this channel, or they're going to have the ability to have access to these weekly Zooms or these monthly Zooms where people are able to have conversations and talk about, like, you know, why they're donating and how they're donating and connecting with other donors, right? Because this is the part of community that is missing, in my opinion, far too often in all spaces, Web3 included. Is Web3 community isn't about a one-to-many relationship. It's actually a many-to-many relationship and then a one-to-one relationship amongst the many. And what I mean by that is true community is felt when you connect with others that are in there, much more so than just connecting with the people that organize the community, right? Like, it's less about like the pastor at a church and more about connecting with other churchgoers that share your passion and your purpose. But in the digital realm, we really haven't had a great way to do that. And so I look at our ability to token gate, you know, everything from like token gating, like a Facebook group type experience, right? To token gating, maybe it's a Telegram group. Even in your email newsletter, imagine if your email newsletter, you were able to token gate it and say, only those that were donating at this level are going to get the bottom half of our email. And in that bottom half of the email, maybe you're highlighting each donor and they will know that, hey, this isn't, you know, being shared out. Everyone isn't going to see this, but those that donate on your level are also going to see what you're about and be able to connect with you, right? Because there's also something beautiful about supporting those that are supporting the things that you care about. And I think token gating that and allowing that to be unlocked via NFTs. And the beautiful thing is, let's say the next month someone doesn't want to donate at that level, you don't have to change anything. There's not a lot of bunch of work on the back end. They just no longer get access to those things that were token gated, which to me is like a beautiful recipe in this whole thing. The second use case there is that, or the second element here in this use case is the transparent of transactions, right? Transparent of donation, transparent of impact, transparent of like where things different things are going. And I really look at this as, like, it's not only proof of donation or proof of cause, but we also, it's something really beautiful about being able to see like kind of the entire life cycle, right? The entire, you know, process, right? And so, you know, like one of the things that I, you know, like Habitat for Humanity, right? Where they're building houses for people. Well, some people donate because maybe there's not a Habitat for Humanity near them, or maybe that they don't have the time to be able to do it, but they want to donate money, right? How cool would it be that, like, hey, this is going to, by donating this amount, you're going to buy one house for this community. Well, how neat would it be that you'd be able to track that and visually represent, like, this funds went to this warehouse. This warehouse is now building a new house. That house was only made possible because of your donation. And you'd be able to watch the house go through the entire life cycle, right? From the, you know, supply chain all the way down to where it's getting delivered to the people that are being a part of it. And so, like, transparent access of funds, transparent access of the process, I believe is a massive win, especially for the nonprofit side of the house. And that also ties into number three, right? Which is number three, which is like the end result. Like, to me, like, anyone that donates or is part of a nonprofit or a cause, how neat would it be that at each step along the way, you were able to mint a photo as an NFT and drop it into their wallet? And now in their wallet, it not only shows them the NFT for donation, but then there's also the results of that, like the impact of that, right? And imagine if they could then share that out with others and be like, hey, my donation here was able to get this end result. And the beautiful thing about that is they have the ability to prove it, right? Like, cause like if someone's looking in your wallet, you're going to see the things that they're involved in. And to me, that is a part of this that is really exciting about, you know, we're going to get to a place where our wallets are as much about our digital identity as anything else that someone searches. And if we're able to see that someone is donating to this cause and they believe in this cause, it's going to add validity to other things that they're talking about or they believe on, right? Because we've all been a part of that, right? Where all of a sudden we're like, man, I think that person is only jumping on that train because it's popular right now. But what if you were able to prove, like, no, I've been out supporting this cause, you know, for, you know, whatever it is, for Title IX, right, where it, you know, sports funding in schools is equal for both male and female. Like, that's a cause to me that is massively important, right? And understanding what's going on with the NCAA tournament right now. And the women's NCAA tournament was way better than the men's NCAA tournament. I'm excited for where women's sports are going. You know, I'm a proud season ticket holder for the Washington Spirit, which is the women's soccer team up here. I take my daughters to. And I just think, like, this layer of, like, proof of donation, although it might sound vanity, there is something beautiful to that. And think about it from this point. I remember growing up, and this is dating myself. There are a lot of people that put bumper stickers on the back of their car for the causes they donated. Or I'm a part of the PTA, right? The Parents Teachers Association. Or, hey, I believe in this, you know, rights for this, and I'm donating to that. Well, part of that is because they're very proud of it. But it also, that's how you get others to inspire donations and motivate. And so the part of this that I'm probably most excited about is I believe the more that we know, the more access we have to understanding the people that are in our network, the people that are surround ourselves with, what are the causes they believe in? What are the things that they're a part of? Where have they donated? Where have they spent time supporting and advocating for and voting for? It's going to unlock us to also join those same causes, because the other part that's really missing, and you know, I know Giving Tuesday, right? The Tuesday after Thanksgiving here in the United States, like, that's a big day for people to talk about, like, the things that their causes they're donating for, and No Kid Hungry, a project that I've been very passionate about for many, many years. Like, that's the only day of the year that they ask for donations. And for me, like, I love seeing my feed on that day of all the people that are also trying to remove, you know, childhood hunger here from the United States. But I will tell you, it'd be even cooler that as I met new people, I'd be able to see that, wow, they also donated to that same cause. Or, hey, there's a cause that's similar in the UK that's going on. I could donate to there, because I want to impact the world. I want to remove hunger from the equation worldwide. And unfortunately, a lot of that is exposure, right? How do we expose to new causes and things that are great? Most of it is through word of mouth. Most of it is through a friend of a friend or someone that we know that is being a part of it. And I really believe Web3 and NFTs are going to unlock like that without question. Now, we could also say how easy it's going to be to transfer crypto to get things into action. Talk about the Ukraine DAO, right? Ukraine DAO was spun up in 48 hours. They raised funds in 24 hours, and they sent millions of dollars into country without any middle person, without any wire transfer, without any banks getting involved. They were able to raise funds, get it into action. Let's face it, that's a big piece of this puzzle in the nonprofits as well. And then there's also other parts of this, right? Like, where, what about collaborations? What if you were a brand and you said, you know what, this cause means a lot to us. Let's back it up, right? I'm a Chipotle fan. Chipotle, what if Chipotle said, everybody that's donated to a cause that is removing hunger or that is helping bring water, you know, safe water around the world, if you have that in your wallet, every single time that you buy from us, you're going to get a 10% discount, and we're going to give 10% to one of those charities. Well, the beautiful thing about that is that can be all done via wallet technology. And so now we're going to be able to see collaborations with brands, right? Well, what about if, like, you know, we've seen this before where people raise funds for, like, you know, walking. I'm going to walk this many distance for Susan B. Coleman or to cure cancer or whatever it may be. What if we were able to integrate that in an Apple Watch technology? And it wasn't just about that one time that we walked. What if, based on our watch, for every mile that we walked in 365 days, that this charity was going to be able to match that? And we were able to have the watch data on chain, therefore it couldn't be manipulated. We'd be able to see what people are walking, how much they're doing. We could inspire each other. It has a very much like a ice bucket challenge feeling, right? Like, the ice bucket challenge was such a grassroots, like, guerrilla marketing. But really what it was word of mouth, a lot of people inspiring each other based on others doing it. And also just this idea of, like, what if we all could bring this conversation to life? And so to me, this is just such a fun unlock. And then on top of that, you have things like AI art. And most of you know, like, I'm creating AI art to remove the stigma and, excuse me, the bias around ADHD and dyslexia and neurodiversity. And so I'm creating art that visualizes that, right? Well, imagine if within my art, I was able to include the ability that for every art piece that was that I sold as an NFT would also donate a portion of that to an ADHD cause, right? That's studying neurodiversity and helping educate teachers and doctors to better diagnose, right? And we'd be able to do that on chain and you'd be able to see that. And on it wouldn't be like, trust Brian that I'm doing that. You'd be actually be able to prove it, right? Because you'll be able to see your donation in cause. And I would tell you, like, if I was a nonprofit right now, I would go look for artists and I would look for projects that are on chain right now that have like that social good impact. And then I would kind of backwards into that. And I have to give a shout out to The Journey. You know, my good buddy, Travi, who you've heard on the podcast multiple times, you know, his goal with The Journey was how do we help, you know, he's in New Jersey. How do we help those schools in New Jersey fund the creative, you know, electives within school, right? The arts, the music. How do we together raise funds so that people continue to have art classes and music classes? And I love everything about that. But like, imagine if every school, if all the teachers could find that out, right? Like, imagine how many parents would also donate if they knew that that would give them a proof that they donated to help keep the arts in their school, right? How many companies would say, hey, for every one of our employees, if you donate to your school to keep the arts in school, we're going to give you an extra day off the year, right? And the beautiful thing about that is there's no back-end tracking. All you do is connect the wallet and say, hey, if this person has this NFT that was given to them from the school based on their donation that they made, give them this day off. Like, the ability to automate, the ability to token gate, the ability to proof of donation, POD, right? Like POD, proof of impact, POI, right? Like, this is where this is going. And I'm like, I really am bullish on nonprofits and really social good movements being like such a catalyst for the adoption of this technology and where we're going. And that also plays into ways that we can kind of collaborate and use the technology to our advantage. And I'll tell you, we're starting a new segment here and we're going to talk about kind of like the AI component of it. And I'm going to try to wrap every episode with a piece of just like AI information, AI knowledge, because I know there's ChatGPT and Bard and then there's Midjourney and DALL-E and there's all this stuff going on about it. But, you know, I'm excited. We're working with a really cool brand called Big Room TV. And Big Room TV has a really great tool right now that is free, which you can definitely sign up using our link below. And you want to sign up using the link below, have it connected to our account. And they have a lot of cool things where they're using AI technology to take the video, right? Every one of these episodes are recorded on YouTube, but they're going to take the video and with one click of the button, I upload it or I use the YouTube link. They'll actually turn the video into a vertical video. But it's not just a vertical video from a crop, but it's a dynamic vertical video, right? So if I move back or forward, or if I'm in the queue, or maybe I'm talking to two people, it actually understands that and it's dynamically creating better content for us. And so we're going to see more AI content come into more AI tools come into that. And so we're going to use this segment, you know, powered by Big Room TV to really talk about AI and where it's going. And for me, one of the places in the nonprofit segment, you know, sector as well is the collaboration amongst artists and like creators, right? Like where I can create art that then can collaborate with a brand that sponsors a nonprofit. And together we can move forward and do some amazing things. And we can even automate that process using AI and AI functionality, right? And the other part of this is also adds a layer of really community curation, right? Like I always think the curation part of Web3 is often overlooked, right? We can create, we can document, but I think one of the most important pieces that is overlooked is curation. And I will tell you, there are some great people out there. Shout out to Historic Crypto, who's another listener, a good friend of the show. He's curating a really cool collection called The Strange History over on Foundation. And he's using, like, people are submitting pieces of art and photos where it has like things that would never have been possible, right? Like one that I was thinking of was like, I want Taylor Swift playing at like in medieval times to the original Swifties, right? And creating a photo of Taylor Swift on stage in medieval times, like maybe in the middle of a castle or you know, like where everybody is around drinking wine and that kind of, you know, art. But what's cool about that is, like, imagine the different ways that that can also be used using AI technology, using, you know, having a nonprofit that is also, you know, trying to bridge gaps or make miracles happen or whatever that may be. And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited for these use cases. And I'm excited to talk a little bit of AI in every one of these future episodes, because, I mean, I think most of you know by now, but, you know, AI has really changed my life, changed the way I look at life. It's given me an outlook to create content and impact that I never knew would be in my wheelhouse. And I have to tell you, if you don't think of yourself as a creator, you don't think of yourself as an artist. I was there 5 years ago, not thinking of myself as a creator. I was there 11 months ago, laughing at the fact that I would one day consider myself an artist. That'd be impossible. I'm artistically challenged. But because I was curious, because I was willing to try out these new tools, you really never know what's possible. And so there are tools where you're gonna be able to take text to video. Right now we're doing, you know, video to you know, AI prompts. We have things where, you know, maybe you don't think of yourself as you don't do video content because you're not a great video editor. Well, what if you were using a tool like this Big Room TV tool, where you could then not have to worry about being a great editor? You could just worry about putting out your information, talking about it on video, and let the AI tech do the work for you. So, as always, my friends, appreciate each and every one of you listening. We are doing some fun things out there in New York. So if you are coming to New York City, make sure that you check us out. We have some meetups going on. I'm going to be doing a meetup with Starbucks. Excited to hang out with them and that group. I know we'll be doing some stuff with Spotty Wi-Fi and what they're doing there. We have the Pizza Dow meetup with Crypto Dads and 90s Babes the one night. And then, of course, we'll be doing some stuff with Killa Bears and Knights of D-Gen and some other projects. Goblin Town, I know, is doing one as well. So with all that being said, thank you for listening to this. Let me know, what are some industries or use cases you want to know about? Just reach out to us on any of the social channels. We are NFT 365 podcast on every single social channel, or reach out to me personally, iSocialFans with a Z, iSocial FANZ or a Z at the end. And just let me know, like, hey, Brian, I would love for you to use this as a use case. So I'm gonna put this challenge out there. And it's only for you that listen to this far of the episode. I believe every single industry, every single vertical, every single job will be impacted by both AI and Web3. And I believe I can provide a use case and an example of how we can use it, what makes sense. And I don't care. You could go from throw out everyone. I did this in live video and someone threw out mortuary. And then I created them a live video streaming strategy to collaborate with other businesses creating live video content. So take up the challenge, throw them out at me, and I'll fire back some ideas to not only use Web3, but also some from creative ways that AI will impact as well. Until next time, my friends, make it a great day. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to NFT 365. If you found this helpful, let us know by leaving a review, like, subscribe, share, and do all of those good things. Join our email list to keep up with all things NFT 365. We appreciate you spending a little of your time with us. And as always,
this show is not financial advice, so do your own damn research.